If you're like me, you need to stay on top of what's working in events today. Whether it's your first time or you've been doing events for years, we don't want to repeat the mistakes of the past. We want to know what's working today. And to that end, I encourage you to check out Bold Push Plus. It's brought to you by Julius Solaris. He is one of the top voices and researchers in the events industry. Go to filmrashawn.com/boldpush, and that'll take you to a page that tells you more about it, and you can apply. If you would, put the name Phil and who referred you. That'll give me a little bit of money to keep this show going. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Events Innovator Show, where we explore the ideas and strategies that are transforming events. Get ready to unlock the secrets to creating extraordinary experiences. And now, here's your host, Phil Michon.
Well, welcome, 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 everybody. This episode surprised me. I was talking to Caroline Correa, who's the guest, and we were lamenting the fact that when we use the term experience design, it's often misunderstood as like an interior designer, someone you bring in later in the game to do things like decorations and the fun stuff, activations and lights and entertainment. Instead, we concluded that people need to think of us as event architects. That's the person that you hire to create the blueprints, to bring your vision to life so you can see it before you start making the plans. If you like that term, let me know, phil@filmrashawn.com. Now I'd like to take you to this week's episode. I'm super excited for the conversation we're going to have today. We are here with Caroline Correa, and she works for a company called Be Events. She has been in the events industry for over 30 years. She specifically focuses on experience in all aspects of the projects. Currently, she's in sales, but her company, Be Events, is part of every aspect of designing high-impact experiences. We're going to have a great conversation today talking all about experience design and something I love. So, Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Phil. I'm glad to be here.
So let's start wherever you want in your journey, but I'd love you to talk about a couple shows that you've worked on that stand out as amazing experiences that you helped to create.
Sure. We at Be Events really believe that an event should be a living expression of your brand identity. So, you know, when you look at, for instance, Target and Toro, both red and white logos, right? Totally different brand, totally different culture in the organizations. And we focus on a lot of B2B events where we're really trying to bring the audience into everything having to do with the brand of that we're serving. So some of my favorite events that we've worked on and clients are some brands like Aveda, where we work on their hair show, which is really interesting. And it's for their salon owners, their franchisees, their kind of corporate teams. And we make an experience for them to really build brand, further their brand love. So they're getting to see how does this brand show up in real life? What do we look like? What does it feel like? What are the attributes of the brand? Another client that we work with that's really fun is Boston Scientific, and they are a medical device company, and we work on this event every year that kind of tells the patient stories and how it connects the people that work at every level of the company with the work that they do and the patients that they affect. Another cool event we work on is CES, and we work with a client that converts a number of different hotel rooms into a suite where they're kind of doing a technology showcase and showing their top clients and what's coming down the pipeline in products and development. So those are just like a little variety of the type of work that we do.
Yeah, and those are all diverse, but one of the things that I heard in each one of those is you're trying to tell a story, but you're also aware of the journey that the participants are following as they get to know the brand, they get to know the product. So go back to the Aveda, the hair products one. Walk us through what you're thinking about as you design the customer journey and the experience they're going to have and what they're going to walk away with, where are they starting and all the touch points in between. How do you think about all that?
We're thinking about, to your point, exactly what is that guest, what's the guest experience from the minute they walk in and what are they seeing first? How is their access to kind of the experiential pieces? What does the environment look like? How does it fit into the space that they've selected as the venue? So it's really kind of telling a story of we walk in, I know I'm at an Aveda event because the lighting looks like it does at the stores and at the salons. I'm seeing the printed material that I'm seeing all over products and I'm seeing in the store again. So we're kind of bringing everything that they'd experience in the store and the salon into a large convention center type of space. We're again addressing what are the scents with Aveda. It's all about the natural kind of like floral and notes like that. So does it smell like an Aveda salon? Does it, again, like, are the textures in similar to the store? And it's hard to do that because, as an event budget isn't necessarily like a building a physical structure like a store where you're having to invest a lot of money in kind of the capital build out of a store and then trying to bring that to an event space, which has to be put up and taken down in 3 or 4 days and also has to be sustainable because that's one of the brand values for the company. So it creates like all these kind of interesting challenges of, okay, how do we do that in a way that's cost effective, sustainable, still like brings that feeling of the brand into the space? And then how do you activate it into things that are interesting, like little moments of here's the hair like scalp treatment area that you can experience. Here's where we're looking at the colors on all the wigs. So you're giving them almost like a customer experience, even though they're employees of the company.
Yeah, I think that's super valuable. The scent, I think, is the one that it may be the most challenging to do across an event. How have you approached that and what have been some of the challenges with that?
Yeah, that's interesting. We've used those scent machines in the past. So that's kind of how we're using it in a space. We've also used it at our CES suites in a different application, just because we have a client who, our client for that project loves a certain hotel scent in the lobby. And she was so nervous about this event going well. And we wanted to have her walk in and be like, oh, this smells like a place I love. So we did that for the client, our actual client and not necessarily the guest. But yeah, we usually use the scent machines for that. So.
And are you targeted? Like you, not to the company, but are there specific places within the event that you target the scents? Or is it throughout the whole space?
That's throughout the space because it's just a large kind of lobby convention center type of area. So certainly there is a scent activation in that Aveda event as well, which is actually from the company. It's called the Snuffleupagus. And it's like this giant machine with all these tubes and you can go and smell the actual individual scent profiles that are in all of the products. But that's slightly different because that's like a scent experience that's just in one spot, not just generally how it smells. Yep.
Now you're brought in to help a company create an experience. So they've got budget and they know they need the expertise that you bring. Not just talking about one event now, because I don't want to point the finger at one. What are some of your biggest challenges or what are some of the biggest opportunities that companies have in creating the kind of experience that you're describing? Because honestly, this is what we want at every event. We want this kind of experience. We want the through line, the story, the outcome to be clear, but I'm guessing not every company is ready to do what it takes. What are some of the challenges that you encounter?
Yeah, I think that certainly like from a creative standpoint, because we approach everything with a really creative lens. So we don't see normal constraints we see as kind of a really fun thing to solve for. So traditionally, like, you're constrained by budget, right? By space, by time. Like, those are the limiting factors. Sometimes you're constrained by, you know, clunky decision making. That's kind of one of the more challenging, if we can't get alignment with a client, and then with also their stakeholders. If it has to, you know, we have to create our plan has to travel up traditionally. Like, we're not necessarily always dealing directly with the chief marketing officer. We might be dealing with, you know, someone two levels down. So I think one of our more challenging things, because I wouldn't say it's budget, space, or time, because we always find ways around it. It's getting the alignment and making sure that we are creating a deck or a document that can travel two levels up on its own, you know, in a kind of freestanding way. So it's more of honestly, like, a learning of how to communicate with the clients in the way that they're empowered to get it up the chain of command and get approvals. Because most of the time it's not necessarily about, we have this limited budget. That's not scary to us at all, because then we just have to be really particular about, well, we're going to invest the bulk of the budget in this, and then we're going to, you know, create again a through line, but within a smaller scale. But I don't know if that answers the question. I feel like I don't see things as challenges, because we always see them as opportunities to, like, do things super creative, right?
Yeah. I mean, constraints make things possible that you wouldn't have done. I remember the guy who ran Saturday Night Live for so many years said that he loved the Saturday deadline, because that forced time constraint brought out their best creativity. And I think that's what you're describing as time and budget. Okay. That said, I think I'd love you to talk about budget, because part of the audience listening here today are first time event owners, and they a lot of times are concerned about budget. Like, am I going to sell enough tickets for this event to make sense? So let's say they've given you a small budget, whether that's a big company or a small company. What are some of the ways that you think about working with that budget to create the experience that you want?
We have an approach that we say we pick three things, right? So it's kind of like, and it's certainly number three is a great kind of design aesthetic element anyway, but we focus on three things that we want to get right. So, and with a limited budget, and I've worked with clients, you know, our range of projects is, I have clients that are spending $50,000 on design, and I have clients that are spending $1 million. So we scale this kind of design approach to all types of clients. And so when we're dealing with, like, for instance, the $50,000 budget, we know that the first impression is really important. So more than likely, the first experience of what is that entrance like, and it doesn't mean it's a $20,000, you know, build out of a photo op, but is the scale appropriate, and is kind of the approach appropriate for when the guest walks in? Do they know they've entered something, right? Because if you can spend a lot of money on a bunch of little things, or you can do something that has more scale where it's a sense of entry. So I would say that first impression is really important. So you want to target your budget in a way, and we do this with every project. Again, we prioritize, like, where are the places that we want to create impact, and dollars usually are aligned with, like, the impact. So it would typically be, what's that entrance experience like? Is there one thing during the program or something else that can really be special or wow? Perhaps it's like an entertainment element, for a live performance element, something. It's not about, you know, I think you and I talked about this the first time we met. It's not about centerpieces and linens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not about it. It's not about, let's make that centerpiece $350 instead of a simple bud vase or something. It's not about that. People don't remember that about the event. They remember, what did I feel like when I walked in? Wow, something really special happened. They also want to know what to expect, and they want it to be, you know, executed well. So, and that's not always a dollar thing. That's more of a proper planning, proper staffing, ease of kind of experience so that the guest doesn't feel like they're working at the event, that it's very easy and it's very accessible and it's very pleasant, right? So that's kind of an operational thing that doesn't cost anything. And then I would say, if there's a program element, making sure that you're getting the proper lighting and the proper like sound and kind of tech, because a lot of events are about communicating information or creating an opportunity for the guests to take something in and then the guests to then go out in the world and talk about it, further amplify like whatever they heard at the event. So I would focus on, just some very core three things.
Yeah. Just responding to that last one, I was talking to our production company last week. Our conference was a little over a month ago, and they were saying production company does their job well when no one talks about them. It's exactly. A thankless job.
Exactly.
As soon as they talk about it. So we had a session where the speaker tried something creative. He wanted to use his phone. He wanted to use his laptop, and he wanted to use our laptop and go back and forth and shoot some live video and do something that on paper sounded really cool. Well, the tech didn't work. So the number one complaint about that session was the tech didn't work, and it took a lot of time away from that. And so I think that just highlights, you got to get that right scale to your point, but you got to get it right so that people can focus on what they came for. You don't have to draw attention to the tech though.
No, it should just be flawless. If you're delivering storytelling, I see a lot of clients that we work with that have a smaller budget and they're like, oh, we want to do more decor. We want to do more decor. And I said, but your purpose of your meeting or your fundraiser is to communicate your story in during your program. And you really actually need to invest in a couple of more screens and make it really easy for that audience to consume the storytelling and not worry about your photo op and not worry about kind of, those extras. And I always call it like the Christmas ornament effect, where you're just like, oh, I just saw this at another event. I want to do it at my event. I want to add this. And you're not thinking intentionally about how is that really furthering the purpose of my event? Because if the purpose of my event is to tell a story and then have people have that resonate with people and have them out in the world amplifying it, you need to focus on the program, right? And not the external, like the extra pieces that are not going to be impactful.
Yeah, I think it does really depend on the purpose of your event. Like the event that I put on, networking is super important. So things that we do in the hallway are, I don't want to say just as important, but they're definitely important.
Absolutely.
We need places along the way that people are going to stop and take pictures, and it's going to be a gathering place as well as putting proper focus on the content, because they did come for the content,
right?
Number one. So I think understanding the event. I'm hearing something that you're talking about. I want to tease it out, because this is something I think about a lot. You've got your installations, you've spent your budget on these three big things. But talk about the human element. You talk about the operational element, but how do the humans from your staff and from the organization bring that to life?
I think that the best way we work with the clients when we're kind of an extension of their team. So we really become integrated again. And it's about, because we're really trying to take their brand and bring it to life. So we need to have a keen understanding of the culture of the company, the brand, how they want to communicate with their B2B audiences, how they want to show up in the world. And we very much conform to that team. So to the point, by the time we're on the event, most of the attendees think we work for that company. It's usually what happens. So we get mistaken for, I've had plenty of people at our corporate events come up to me and say, oh, wait, I know you, what department are you in? And we're a vendor, but we're much more integrated, I would say, into the culture of things, so that we're working together with our client to make it seamless, to make sure everyone understands roles and responsibilities way up front. Like when we contract with a client, because there is so much overlap between what we do and they do, that it doesn't become an uncomfortable, clunky process, because part of our goal is really for our client to enjoy the process as much as they possibly can. Because most people who we work with don't really love events. Like they know they have to do events because it's the best way to bring their brand to life. It's the best way to get their audiences engaged, but they're not necessarily event experts. So we're kind of like their event guide, like, you know, we're like the event whisperer to the client. And so by the time the event comes around, we are really like very seamless with the internal teams.
Do you find that you can do that even at the $50,000 budget?
Yes. Yes. Because normally we've been, unless it's like, you know, and, you know, speaking of budgets again, right now they're, you know, budgets are not necessarily set in a very much in advance. So we have had some projects we've had to very quickly do in an 8-week time period, but mostly we're with our clients for 4 months, 6 months, 9 months, sometimes a full year, where we're really like our meeting cadence is set, and we're meeting with them every week, every other week. So,
yeah. I remember in the early days of our event, we had an event company that we worked with, and literally they'd bring 8 or 9 people, and it felt to our customers like we were just one big team.
Yes.
We knew internally what the difference was, but they're all wearing the same shirts.
Yes.
They're all acting the same. And they typically, they knew how to greet people way better than people on our staff. Because that's what they do. They're in the hospitality industry. They know how to keep a smile even when things are going chaotic in the back room.
So yeah, it is the definition of service. The amount of service that we deliver, and especially on site. Just last month when we were with a client in Dallas for about a week, and it was, you know, the level of, it's a true service industry. You're not only serving the client, you're serving the guests. It's, you know, we're right there with the hotel staff on everything, working from 7 a.m. till midnight, right on site, making sure everything is going well. So it's, yeah, 100%. And again, yes, all wearing the same attire. Usually we help train the staff on like, here's how we're going to staff this. Here's how, which part you're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We have like huddles with the client every morning, so we all know exactly what's happening that day, what everyone's role is. So yeah, it's very much like we're just an extension.
Yeah. Those are all best practices. I love that you do that. So back to your three things. You're focusing on three things. Is that true? First of all, no matter the scope of the event, you've still got your main three things that you're focusing on, or okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How do you decide, no matter what the size of the company is, and let's say it's your first time working with this company, how do you decide which three things to focus on?
I would say there are a couple of things. It's definitely a partnership decision, because we are asking the client up front during discovery and kind of research about what matters to you. What matters to you? What's going to be success? What does success look like to you? And then we're going to come back and use our experience and all of our expertise on identifying that. And sometimes it's a logistical thing. It's not really a outward spend of money. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes it's like, well, we just want the flow of the room to work, you know? So that's right. that's just an intelligent design on floor planning and knowing how people actually move in a space, because, you know, you can think how people, you can have best intentions of what people are going to do, but they inevitably might jam up in one side of the room if you haven't designed it in a way that encourages them to use the whole space. So occasionally, you know, sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's the solution that comes in like, geez, we need a registration solution more than anything. You need to invest in like making this very easy for your team to know how to register and how to attend. It's like the first barrier is getting people to even want to go, right? So it's definitely different for each client, because it totally depends on the purpose of the event, what that client values. A client I worked with last month, they were doing an awards presentation for an international group, and they had the year before they had a terrible experience with boxed lunch with, you know, it was like, they were like, that was just the worst. We don't want that. And we really need a really strong project manager to manage all of us. Those are the two things they cared about. Now, did we make the experience beautiful and nice? And they did not value decor, right? The client did not value decor. So we were like, okay, so our role in this is really being as strong of a project manager as we can so that everybody understands what they're doing and working on timelines. We've got to get away from this box lunch situation. And of course, everything else was just nice, moderate level of decor. And that's really all it took to make the event successful. So
you've just highlighted something I think is interesting, because you have two clients in what you just described. There is the person that hired you, and then there are the end users, staff, participants, whatever the kind of event is.
Yes.
And a lot of times in my experience, the one who purchased you does not fit what the end user is going to want. Their music taste, their decor taste, their food taste, all those might be different. How do you keep both happy and design experience for both of them?
Yeah, it's tricky. Because, you know, you need the client to be really happy. But it's that becomes in more in the guest insights. We do in our discovery, in our like inquiry phase with the client, we do a lot of inquisitions about like, tell us about your guest, you know, tell us about where they're coming from, what's their experience, what's their role in the company. And so we do have a ton of guest insights that we bring to them, and we make recommendations about, here's what we think is going to achieve your objectives as a whole, right? Your objectives on budget, timeline, guest experience, stakeholders. Is your CEO going to be proud of this? And sometimes, you know, you have to balance it, because sometimes they say, we don't care about this because our CEO wants this for the music, for instance. Like, and you're right, that does, and music does make an environment, you know, one way or another, it sets the tone for it. And so it's a balancing act, but we always bring our best practices to the table. We base it on research and insights. And again, like things we've seen in our experience, and our team, you know, we work on a team of, it's an agency model. So I have an account manager, a creative, and a producer at minimum on each project, who are all very specialized in what they do and have 15 plus, you know, lots of experience on designing and executing events and producing. And so we do our best to kind of balance all of that. But sometimes one person's voice is louder and you end up accommodating some of that. So,
and you have to choose your battles for sure. If the one with the purse string says, this is what I want, they may be non-negotiable. But I imagine there's a conversation that you have of, well, do you really want that music, or are you looking for the outcome that's going to happen because of the music? And if it's the outcome, can I suggest that your audience might want something a little bit different? Is that the kind of conversation you're trying to have?
That's exactly what I was talking about with a colleague 2 days ago when I were working with a client, and she said, well, they said these are the 5 things that matter the most to them. And I said, let's look at the nuance. I said, because AI does the note generation for everyone now, right? And so she was going through the AI notes and she was like, well, this is how it was ranked. And I was like, but when they were talking, did you notice, you know, the nuance in what they were saying? Because I said, actually, this number 5 on the list should actually be number 1. And they didn't know how to say it. They were saying in order. But so the weight of importance, yes, there's nuance in what they're saying. And to your point, they may say something, but they don't. What's more important is, what's the objective? What's the outcome you want? Because what you're telling me right now isn't going to achieve your outcome. So yeah, there's a lot of nuance in kind of listening to the client, balancing it with what they want versus what's best for the overall experience for the guest. And yeah, it's exciting though. That's what I love about the industry and kind of the work, is that it's not a linear thing, right? It's a very kind of agile process.
Absolutely. Let's talk a second to the first time event owner, because I think this is where that issue can come up even more, because you're designing something that you would like, and it may not be as clear what your audience is going to like. What kind of conversations would you have for that first time event owner to help them understand their audience and how to create the right experience for that person or group of people to have the outcome that they want?
I think the understanding that, so in my, the way I talk to clients about it is that events are really, if you have a Venn diagram, right, and you have culture as part of the circle, and then technology, and then economics, like budgets and outcomes and things like that, your event is really at the center of like that entire Venn diagram, right? So the event is, you're going to lean on culture. What generation are we talking to right now? Are we talking to your Gen Z employees? Are we talking to your boomers? Who are we talking to? Because that is going to really impact what should happen at the event. So helping them understand kind of, again, who's your audience? What's going to engage that audience versus another audience? You planner or first time event owner might be of an entirely different like generation from who you're trying to talk to and communicate or inspire or take action, right? So I think having those conversations about the event is so much bigger than just something you think is really exciting and cool and interesting, because you've got to look at what's happening in culture. How are we going to bring technology in to make, not as a distraction, but to enhance connection? How are we going to look at ROI or what are your outcomes going to be? Because that's all part of it. It's not just, oh, I like this and I want to do it, right?
And that's a lot of times where we start. You know, I see events put a lot of budget into getting really well-known speakers to come to the event. And that may be the right move. It may create the result that they want, or they may think that's going to sell tickets and it doesn't. Yeah. And so I think challenging those assumptions is a really smart thing. I'm curious, one of the things I've noticed that most of us in the event industry are not so good at is the closing experience. Like, we put a lot into that welcome experience and the peak experiences,
right?
But the closing experience is hard. One, people may leave early, depending on the event, but also, you know, we've already spent our budget. So what do you do if that's an important step? You know, obviously if it's not an important step to the outcome they're looking for, then this doesn't make sense. But what are some of the things you've done to make sure that is one of the things that people remember?
Yeah, I would say one of the, it's so fun. This is one thing that's fun. So yes, you're right. If it's a fundraiser and you've raised all of your money in the room, I am not a proponent of doing an after party, because to me, you've already achieved the goal. People have had the crescendo of the night. And that is something, so it's hard. This is a hard thing. You making a crescendo, when's the crescendo for your event? So, and it's very hard to say, here's the peak, then we go down and then we're going to make another peak at the end, right? So again, figuring out the storyline of here's the purpose, here's, we're going to have the crescendo and then we can dismiss, or people lose attention and they are not interested in being on a roller coaster of emotions. So one of the fun things that we have done is kind of in the sizzle reel at the end of the event, where you've captured live video or you've captured content, and then you're putting that up at the end and people love to see themselves, and that's really fun. So using some like digital ways to do that is fun. Having them leave with something special when they leave. I mean, that's a totally old thing that it has been happening for years in events, but giving them something meaningful on the way out the door that they remember you. It's not expensive. It's easy. It's a hospitality item. It's a service piece. A note is always nice, a personal note, and then things that happen after the event. I think there's a lot of follow-up that doesn't happen Because you've spent all this time, like say you're doing a leadership meeting or something. So you've been working on content and you've been working on all this stuff and you know, you've had this great week and then your employees leave and they never hear, you know, they get a survey, right? Did you like it? But they don't get something as a follow-up that's special. So I think making sure the event is just a part of it on the continuum, right? It's just one spot on the continuum of connection, communication. And so I think having a follow-up plan, because to your point also, they leave, people leave. You can't, you can only capture that like crescendo one time in the event. So where is that going to happen? And if it's at the end and it is a blowout party at the end because you've kept things like steady throughout and that's the crescendo, that's something too. But it's hard, but I think some of it's in the follow-up afterwards too. And that's something that we like to challenge our clients to think about is the lead up to the event and the follow-up after.
Yeah, I think the communication outside the event is very important. Obviously, if you're working with a client that it's all their employees, it's different than an industry event where people are coming from 1,000 different companies.
Right.
In that case, it's a lot more important that you're preparing them. But in my experience, what you described is very common, but I would be interested for you. I feel like the implementation of what someone learns at these events ends up being less than desired. I don't know if you would agree with that. And what do you think can help solve that?
So do you mean what they've learned and how it lives on,
yes,
besides just being on like now being on an on-demand video or something like that, right?
Yeah, I learned 15 things, but I actually don't go back and do any of them. It was cool. I can give a good PowerPoint report, but it doesn't impact my job as much as was hoped by, you know, the company that spent $1 million on an employee event.
Right.
Did you get a $5 million or $10 million return on it in terms of what's happening?
Exactly.
Or is it a waste of money? And my theory is that we don't do as well as we could. Maybe it's a $2 million return instead of the $10 million return.
I agree. I don't think that companies yet, it's something that we talk about all the time at my company. So we want to challenge client because we sometimes bring to our clients, well, what are you doing to measure that this was effective? Like, how can we help you with your internal comms and things like that, measure the effectiveness of this? And it's just, believe it or not, like it's still just an ongoing discussion. I think there is some real hope with AI here, because I do think that there's a way to take the content that you've had and not just put it again on a video library somewhere to watch on demand, but there's got to be a way to curate it intelligently using AI for it to then follow up with you and say, Hey, Caroline, like in this session, you guys learned about this. These were the takeaways from it. How have you used it? So I think that because that's a whole job in and of itself, that kind of follow up after an event, and that requires the internal team at the company to actually put thought, put effort, put work into it. And I think the technology piece is going to get us there faster. It's not, but I don't think it's there yet.
Yeah. And there's still an individual willpower. I've got to decide. I used to work with the roles and responsibilities and expectation method. So, you know, someone that I report to could ask me to put on there, okay, what are you taking away from that event? What are you working on right now? And they could keep asking me for a couple of months to work on something else. And I feel like even whether it's there or internally driven, we have to come out with a specific plan. And I find people want to do too much. I'm going to watch all the videos in the next 2 weeks.
Yes. Yes.
For a 3-day event. Really? How good is that going to be?
Exactly. Right. I know. What a nightmare. I am really curious about how that's going to evolve and who is going to drive it, because that's expensive too. So all that follow-up afterwards is it yet another investment of time and money. Yes, 100% it justifies why you spent that much at the event, but it's even like it's a lot. That would be a lot of additional work. And I don't know if people, if it's there yet. Until I do think technology will assist that getting there faster, but
it can, but I feel like, you know, what you described as the videos, you know, in the library, I call them shelf notes. You know, we've got all these great notes that we took, but we don't do anything because they stay on the shelf. I think that what happens is it's too complicated and we really need to walk away with a 1, 2, or 3 point outline of what we're going to work on and no more. And yeah, if that's in alignment with the company's goals, then that's all the better, right?
Yeah, I love that idea. I love that idea. I would like to see that. I've not seen it in practice yet. So
let me ask you this, because I'm doing some research on a book all about how do events play a role in transformation, and that could be for an organization or a person. One of the things that I've seen is there has to be this catalytic moment, this moment where people realize, oh, I've got a problem, I need to change. And now, like in a great Hollywood movie, I see the path to the change.
Yeah, the hero's journey.
Yeah. Is that part of the storyline that you're trying to create, is create that moment of angst of, oh, I can't just keep doing things the way I've always done it. AI is changing the world. You know, I might lose my job if I don't keep up with this, or whatever it might be. Is that something you're working into the program?
I would say no, I'd like to. I think we work that in at the beginning when we position the event as a solution to their problem. So for instance, why are you going to have an event? You're only going to do it most likely you're trying to solve for something, right? And it could be you're boosting morale, you're again conveying information, you're energizing a sales team, you're whatever. So we see the event in itself as a solution to a business problem, right? Okay. Certainly, yeah, the friction of creating like the storyline, and yes, you're right, creating urgency, because you want, in order for people to take any behavioral change, there needs to be urgency. There needs to be a problem. Scarcity drives behavior change. So usually what we're positioning is that our event is a solution to that it's on that storyline, right? So.
And you're assuming people, when they arrive, know this is a problem, or is it something that the leaders know is a problem, but everybody else doesn't know?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Okay. I would say sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. We've worked with a client before during a crisis situation where they were facing like a very large public data breach. And yes, the entire team knew why they were at, you know, what the purpose of that meeting was and how we wanted to kind of flatten the company a little bit, because it was a company that had a very strong hierarchy, and there was not collaboration between levels in the company. So we intentionally created an opportunity to flatten it so that executives were on an equal playing field with vice president and everyone else, so that there could be a solution kind of made to that. So they for sure knew. When we do a fundraiser, 100% people, everyone knows they know that there's a funding problem. They know they're there to raise money. Sometimes if it's a HR driven thing where they're trying to build company morale, maybe it's not so clear to the employees that that's what's happening, right? But it's part of a larger kind of HR plan. So I would say, I guess it varies.
You have to be clear on that when you go in. Do they know or not? I remember hearing about a lady told me about her husband who had to go to all these mandatory meetings, and clearly they hadn't described to him why this is important. So for him, it was just boring, a waste of time. And why'd you do it? You know, my thought is, why did you do the event if that's what everybody's going to come in with and what they're going to come out with? It'd be a better use of time to maybe just have a quick meeting or send a newsletter.
Right. Send a newsletter. Like, right. Exactly. Yeah. I would say it's not great to dupe your guest, right? So like, I think one of the things we do, and in that instance of like the team morale thing, and it was just, I mean, they did know because it was after COVID and it was, they were first line workers and it was more of a gratitude thing. And it wasn't like, hey, you guys, thanks for working throughout COVID. This is for you. But everybody knew they had come through a challenging time. But I think one of what you hit on that is so important in your example is that you do need to be very clear in communicating what's going to happen at this event to your guests and what's the purpose of it. Because if you're not, it's nobody wants, first of all, no one will pay attention. People may not attend if they don't know why it's important and what's going to happen at the event and what the outcome is. And you're not going to affect any, you know, again, change behavior, because that's why we want, you know, that's why we want to gather people in a room. We're trying to change behavior, communicate ideas, create super fans, like, you know, all of those things that you talked about the transformative opportunity that an event provides. If you don't know why you're there, well, gosh, you like,
yeah,
what a miss, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you could maybe bring them on up to speed when they first get there, if it's a surprise agenda, but it's better if they've come at least with some expectation of, here's why I'm leaving the office for 2 days, 3 days.
Right. Yeah. That's a heavy ask of a person to do without understanding what the objectives and the purpose and what their role in it is. And I am kind of the mindset of, I don't like to surprise people. I don't think that's fair. I don't think it's I think moments of moments of joy in an event are fine, but you don't surprise. No, thank you. Right.
Well, at least in the overarching reason that you're there, there can be moments of surprise and delight.
Sure.
That they weren't expecting that. And those can be the very things they talk about, you know, when they go back home. So
yeah,
want to create those memorable experiences, but if they're anxious about why they even come to this event, there are cases, you know, a merger that's happening and you're trying to have a meeting about that would be anxiety producing. Am I going to have a job?
Okay, yeah.
Acknowledge that, you know, this is hard, but you can still make that a good experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's similar to that whole data breach example. Was, we were really clear because there was tons of anxiety. And you want to kind of like take the temperature down. You kind of want to take the temperature down, right? And that's one of the things that we really do, because of the empathy that you need to have as the designer and the planner for the guest of like, how do we lower the anxiety level? We did an event this fall that was just the week of the election. And, you know, intentions were high, generally speaking. And they've been high even with the economic kind of situation happening. So we see a part of our role is like, let people put their shoulders down, like give them a chance to kind of take a breath here. We, for that particular event, we used a ton of live plants, we saturated the space in green and in like that nature, that feeling of like nature, because that's generally, for a human, is a de-escalating kind of experience. Yeah. And that event was hugely successful against all other people said it would not be successful because of the timing. There was a lot of skepticism about if people were even going to come. And it was really amazing. And I attribute like that environmental kind of treatment as a way that really de-escalated things.
And I imagine if you looked at your three things, that was one of the three.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It 100% was. Yes.
And that's a great solution. And just those listening, the role of live plants can't be underestimated. They produce oxygen when hotel and conference rooms suck up oxygen when there's a lot of people in the room. So plastic plants don't do that. They may look the same, but they don't produce the same.
They don't. And I would say again, you know, I can't underscore enough, if it's your first time event, there are ways to transform a space that are not breaking the bank. You can drape a space into, you can create an entrance moment out of pipe and drape that is that is stunning. It creates a sense of entry. It's not a custom build. It's not a $15,000 thing that someone has to construct. It's an easy way to do it. It softens the room. It softens the lines in a room. Lighting, again, like, you know, AV budgets are cost, certainly cost drivers, but I can't say enough for how you light the room and the kind of, again, like turn off the house lights, right? Turn off
at least dim them. Yeah.
Dim them. Create like this sense again of, you know, you want people again, you want them to like be receptive when they walk into your, be receptive to whatever you're offering them. And they can only do that if they're feeling prepared. They know what to, you know, they know what to expect. They know why they're there. And then you can, you know, make them more receptive to your message.
I'm going to give one quick tip and then we're going to move to the end. We just had our event, like I told you, and we put a lot of effort into hallway decor, but there was two places that we forgot to put that effort. One was in breakout rooms and one was in what we called meetup rooms. And in particularly in the meetup rooms, there was nothing. It was just a room with a bunch of tables and chairs. And it just was such a contrast to the rest of the event that we just overlooked. And all it would have taken is a few uplights and dim the lights just slightly, maybe put a couple small little centerpieces on the tables, and it would have transformed the room. It didn't need a lot of budget, to your point, but it needed thoughtfulness, and we just didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it needs, you don't need to bring in a $10,000 of lounge furniture or something, right? Because that's the other, you know, just the cost of things are, they're not going down, right? And then just candles too. Like there's not, I can't say, again, the lighting, it's very, doesn't take a lot.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I'm going to give you a chance to give one last note that you would like to leave the audience with, and then we'll move to our signature sign off. So anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
I just want to say, like, I don't think there's been a more exciting time in to work in events. And I, just would love to, again, talk to anyone that wants any tips, advice, any of anything that's going on in the world today. I'd love to talk about it because I do think events are so relevant, right?
Oh, yeah. They're stronger than ever, but we have to be more selective in our budgets than ever. So great conversation. So we do the signature sign-off. I know you're familiar. I'm going to ask you for three words. At least one of them should be emotional that stand out from this conversation. And I will play a response to it and then we'll bring it to a close.
Okay. I will say remarkable.
Okay.
Responsible. And curious. Is that emotional?
Absolutely. I love it. Remarkable, responsible, and curious. All right. Let's go ahead and get set up. All right. Well, Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show today. Let people know how they can find you and where you love to connect.
You can find me on LinkedIn and you can find me on our website, Be Events Design. And feel free to contact me. I'd love to, again, talk to anyone who's entering the business, anyone who's starting out an event, starting a brand new event. I always love to talk about events. So
yeah, Caroline, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been a really fascinating and wide-ranging conversation. I hope people find a lot of value out of it. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to the Event Innovator Show. Connect with Phil on philmachon.com and be sure to subscribe and never miss an episode.